This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission, scheduled for Wednesday, March 29, 2006. Should you have questions after listening to this recording, please call the FEC at 800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Good afternoon. The Federal Election Commission open meeting for Wednesday, March 29, 2006 will come to order. And our first item of business is Draft Advisory Opinion 2006-4, Representative Tancredo and Tancredo for Congress Committee. And we have a couple of late submitted documents.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move for the suspension of the rules for the timely submission of documents to consider agenda documents 06-21 and 06-21A.
Vice Chairman, so moved. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion passes by a vote of 6-0. And from the Office of General Counsel, Mr. Daniel Abramson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Good afternoon.
The Commission has received an advisory opinion request from the Tancredo for Congress Committee, the principal campaign committee for Congressman Thomas Tancredo. The request inquires as to the permissibility of donations from Tancredo for Congress to Defend Colorado Now, an organization created to support a Colorado ballot initiative that would restrict certain state services to persons lawfully in the United States. The request asks whether such donations are permissible and whether certain specific amounts would result in Defend Colorado Now being considered financed by Tancredo for Congress. The request also asks whether Tancredo for Congress may pay for communications in which Representative Tancredo endorses the ballot initiative, and whether Defend Colorado Now may share polling data with Tancredo for Congress. The draft concludes that it is permissible for Tancredo for Congress to donate funds to Defend Colorado Now. However, the proposed donations of either 50 or 25% of Defend Colorado Now's total receipts would result in Tancredo for Congress financing Defend Colorado Now. The draft also concludes that Tancredo for Congress may pay for communications in which Representative Tancredo endorses the ballot initiative, and that Tancredo for Congress may accept polling data from Defend Colorado Now, though this may constitute a contribution to the Tancredo for Congress Committee. Also before you is Agenda Document 06-21A, which proposes amendments to the Blue Draft based on discussions with several commissioners. Thank you, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Abramson. Discussion. Commissioner Bonsbakowski.
Mr. Chairman, I think the other commissioners have seen some of the remarks we've had about this. I think at this point I really would like some more information. I think our analysis, I really have a criticism of the analysis, but part of my problem here is I don't think we've really established a good rationale for how we determine whether someone is engaging in significant financing of an initiative like this. We're basing what we're doing not on the 10 factors that are laid out in our regulation 300.2, but on just one factor, the amount of the donation. And even there, we're only doing it on a snapshot in time. And to me, this is very similar to the kind of analysis that's done under a different statute, but I think this is the way we ought to do it. Under the Voting Rights Act, when you're trying to determine whether there's a violation of Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, you look at the totality of the circumstances. The statute in the Senate laid out a whole series of factors. They're called the Senate factors. Very similar to the way we have these 10 factors laid out here, and you look at all the different factors, and under the totality of the circumstances, you try to make a determination. I think that's kind of what we need to do here, and we don't have other information about these other factors and whether any of them are met. And the reason I don't think a snapshot works is, to just take one example, one of the proposals laid out is that Tancredo would give the lesser of $50,000 or 50% of the money that this initiative, ballot initiative organization, has on hand at the time the donation is made. Now, our information is, to round it off, is that right now this ballot organization has about $10,000 in hand, but they have pledges for another $50,000. Therefore, if Tancredo makes a 50% donation right now, he would be giving them $5,000. Now, if none of those pledges materialize, so the total amount that they end up raising is $15,000, the $10,000 they have on hand now plus the $5,000 from Tancredo, Well, then, yeah, he will have financed about a third of the organization, and under those circumstances, if the other factors we look at him, I could probably conclude that he's providing a significant amount of the funding. But if he gives $5,000, and the day after, all the pledges come into this organization, so they not only have the $10,000 on hand, the $5,000 from Tancredo, but another $50,000. So the Tancredo's contribution ends up being $5,000 out of $65,000. I wouldn't consider that to be a significant amount of the funding for the organization. And I think that describes why, for me, just taking it on one snapshot in time is not really the way to do the analysis. I mean, I would be in favor of getting more information about the other factors and us thinking a little bit more about how exactly we do the analysis for what is considered to be significant funding.
Thank you. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Yeah, I appreciate Commissioner von Spakovsky's concerns, and I wanted to try and get a better understanding, because as I thought about the problem, it struck me that this snapshot in time problem will always present itself. And especially from the position of somebody like Mr. Tancredo, who is going to make a decision whether to disperse these funds or not, that this will always be the situation they find themselves in dealing with this sort of snapshot in time and looking retrospectively at the amount of funds collected. And it wasn't clear to me that taking more time or getting more information from them would resolve that problem. And to the degree that other candidates were trying to discern whether to make similar kinds of contributions to similar entities and where they would fit in our regulatory scheme, whether they would be found to have made a substantial contribution or not. Doesn't this problem always present itself in this form?
Commissioner von Spakovsky.
No, I agree. I think it always does. But that's why, to me, an answer, for example, could be structured in which we say, if you make a contribution now of $5,000, 50% of the amount they have on hand, and the organization is unable to collect any more money, then you have engaged in significant financing and these rules apply. On the other hand, and we should keep in mind, I think the lifetime of this organization is fairly limited. They're trying to get this on the ballot for this year. We could also put in the advisory. On the other hand, if you contribute $5,000 now, but the organization is able to receive in hand the rest of the money that has been pledged of $50,000, so that your donation ends up being $5,000 out of $65,000, well, then you would not be considered to have engaged in significant financing. Yes.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also appreciate your concerns, but I'm, trying to play this out. So what if we structure it that way, though? Suppose they don't get $60,000, if that's what the pledges are, suppose they only get $50,000. Do they have to come back to us for another advisory opinion saying, well, gee, we didn't get the full 60, but we did get 50. Is that good enough? I mean, do we have to, in order to avoid having this kind of inherent back and forth, do we have to come up with some threshold? Say, well, if it's more than X percent, or if it's more than something or other, and is there some amount? I mean, the if he's giving $50,000 to an organization that has $10,000 and they don't collect any other money, just that's the total budget. Is there some amount at which you would say we don't have to look at any other factor? The amount that you're putting in is so significant that alone would be determinative.
Commissioner von Spakovsky.
Commissioner Weiner, I think those are all very good questions to which, frankly, right now we don't really have an answer to, because I don't think we've really thought deeply about how to handle this. I think we probably, there is some threshold amount, and I don't know what it is. You know, if you're, I don't know where between over 10%, I don't know what point we should consider that you're doing significant financing of an organization, whether it should be 20%, 30% more. I don't know, because I don't think I've had enough time to really consider that. And I haven't had enough time, I don't believe, or I haven't seen that we've really established here a way of looking at this and taking into account not just that percentage, but the other factors that are laid out in the regulation. You know, will the percentages change depending on which of these other factors are present about how much control or non-control you have over the organization? I mean, one of the examples I think Commissioner Mason gave, which was a good one, or maybe the chairman, was, you know, we might consider that 25% is significant funding of an organization. On the other hand, if you have a circumstance where a candidate who basically is resigning from office isn't going to run again, gives an amount of 25% to one of these organizations, it's not an organization that's working on a ballot initiative that he's really associated with or interested in. He's not doing anything other than giving 25% of the organization, and then he's not going to have anything more to do with the organization. He's going to retire and, you know, go sit on corporate boards or whatever. Under those circumstances, would we consider that he's engaging in significant financing of the organization? At this point, I'm not sure whether we would be.
Well, for my part, I mean, I think Commissioner Von Spakovsky's emphasis on the fact that it is a totality of the circumstances analysis under 300.2 is I agree with him on that. And the two pieces of factual information that I think, from my own vantage point, would be helpful is what they've raised. As of the time that we're considering this, I understand that we have data through December of 2005. But you know what they've been able to raise in the first quarter of 2006, I think, could be pertinent. And I think the commissioner notes that, you know, how much they have on hand could affect how we view these monies that Tancredo is proposing to give to them. So that would be one piece of information. And I realize that, and I think Commissioner Weintraub makes a good point, look, at some point you've got to make a decision. And if they're going to continue to raise funds, unless they completely raise all the funds they're going to raise, you have to balance that, and I agree. But I would be interested I think it could be make a material impact on our decision-making if they raised, you know, depending on what they raised in the first quarter of 2006. The other thing that I couldn't gather from the AOR is when Tancredo was the committee was planning to donate the funds. Were they planning to do it as soon as we acted? In other words, there wouldn't be any more fundraising that the entity would be able to do, or were they planning to do it later in time? And I realize that that's hard to sketch out because we don't know what their fundraising is going to be after that, but it was unclear to me what their plans were there. But, you know, and looking at 300.2 C2, you know, our regulations, where it talks about how we're to examine in the context the overall relationship between the sponsor and the entity. This emphasis on the overall relationship seems to be present there in the regulation language. But I recognize that the snapshot analysis is always going to be part of what we have to do, unless the entity comes in and says, look, we've done all our fundraising, we're not doing anything more. There will be a sort of a dynamic aspect to our analysis. But I personally would be interested in where they are now in terms of cash on hand, particularly when there's only $9,000 that I guess is on hand as of now. And, you know, if they raised $50,000 in the first quarter of 2006, that, you know, could have a significant bearing on, at least for me, on how to come out of all this. So I'd be comfortable getting additional facts, but I also will not object if my colleagues feel like they have the facts they need to make decisions today. Commissioner Mason.
The first communication from this organization was November 21st. I take it that we didn't consider their request complete, but they asked us in November for some advice. And we sent them some questions back, and they replied again at the end of January. It's now the end of March. Commissioner Von Spakovsky has pointed out that this is an effort that's trying to raise money now to get a ballot initiative on the ballot for November, and I think we owe them an answer. In terms of additional facts, I mean, we are always limited, particularly in an advisory opinion context, by the facts that the requester chooses to present. They had the opportunity to shape this, and they chose to shape it in a way that relied very heavily on percentages of fundraising. And I mean, while there's a sort of, you know, cap in there in the context of the small amounts of money that had been raised when the request came in, you know, I read the material factor essentially being these percentages, 25%, 50%, and in addition, as the request is framed, as that money being put in early. And there was discussion about, well, $5,000. I mean, in essence, the way I read this was the plan is they would sort of do like the public radio telethon and match the donations, you know, dollar for dollar up to the first $50,000, in essence, under the first criteria, and that might even be a part of the fundraising strategy. And so read that way, I think the request is fairly straightforward. The requester presented facts that they wanted us to render an opinion on, and I think we need to do it to the extent that we can. If we think we're just not sure enough about 25% to make the call, I suppose we could say that, but I don't think it's a particularly good idea to go back and ask. You know, this is... I take it the treasurer is perhaps not an attorney. He's certainly not an attorney who's practiced before the commission frequently. And it might be different if they had chosen to engage counsel who were more familiar with us. But the draft has been out for a week or so, and we haven't heard anything. So this strikes me as one of these situations where the member wants an answer. And, you know, we can give him an answer, and it may not be exactly what he wants, but they'll know what they have to do, and I think that would be the better thing to do. I also want to note about the totality of circumstances, and while, of course, the regulation is written that way, the consequences of a conclusion that an organization has established, financed, maintained, or controlled by a member of Congress in the post-BICRA era are fairly substantial. And I think to the degree that we can lay down some concrete guidance, you know, whether it would be, well, 50%, no matter what, no matter what other factors are there, if you give half the money, it's yours, would be a useful kind of guidance. And I think it would be not in keeping with the best way for us to address the regulated community to say, well, just we're just never going to quite know until all the facts are in because there's so many other things out there. I think we're being asked on these particular facts, and to the extent we can render an opinion, that would be helpful because it would be very dangerous for organizations to proceed on the basis that, well, if I give $5,000 and more money comes in, I'll be okay, but if I give $5,000 and now an event which I cannot predict or control, other people giving money, does or does not occur, is in essence going to turn this organization into something that's financed by me, would be a dangerous bit of advice to give because of the consequences, again, of other events that don't, you know, that are beyond the control of the member and the authorized committee here. So in terms of the 25% figure, in this case, I don't have a big problem. I do appreciate the staff working with us on the 10%. I didn't see a reason to reach that, largely because it wasn't asked here. But in addition to the 25% of the funding, we have that funding coming early in the organization's life. We have an expressed intent to share campaign strategy, to share polling information, and for the member here to cut, in essence, independent ads endorsing the initiative. In the context of all of those other factors, it is easy enough for me to say that 25% of the funding up front, early in the organization's life cycle, would be significant enough to class the organization as being financed by the member. We don't have to go beyond that. If other factors were absent, if it were just 25% of the money and nothing else was there, it would be a different question, and I think we would be wiser to try to address that when we have it before us.
Thank you. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, as is so often the case, Commissioner Mason, I think you make a great deal of sense. And I think that it's important to, which is not to imply that my other colleagues didn't make sense. But
no offense taken.
None was intended, really. I do think it's important to note that we've got sort of four different verbs, not to mention directly or indirectly. in this rule, directly or indirectly establish, finance, maintain, or control. And we have 10 factors, but I don't think that all 10 factors necessarily go to each of those four verbs, and we only have to nail down one of them for largely the same reasons that Commissioner Mason pointed out. Personally, I think I've got enough here to find financing. You know, whether there, if we knew more, we might think there was also control. Or if we knew more about the ongoing relationship, we might have maintain. I think arguably we've got maybe help to establish. But I'm pretty comfortable on the finance end, particularly given that it does seem to be the seed money, and they've got these pledges out there, but maybe the other pledgers are waiting to see whether Tancredo is going to come up with his money first before they come up with theirs. So I'd be prepared to vote for the document as amended, the combined two documents at the table today.
Would you like to so move?
I'll
have Commissioner Walther's remarks.
I would tend to support it as well. And it occurred to me that it might be set up so that he, the candidate, can continue to give contributions as money comes in. So that would just make a series of contributions. It just stay even with 25 up until you get to 50. So it could be really kind of a method of encouraging financial support for the ballot initiative as well. Part of an understanding that I'll help you raise money. And then I don't know to what extent it might be considered if you're using your money to raise ads, to do ads for the ballot initiative, if that is a factor in whether or not that's financing or another kind of a collaborative relationship. They seem to want to compare strategy on polling, obtain information regarding the polling, but we don't know, for example, what the questions are going to be exactly and who's going to be asked. And it just seemed to me that there was, I don't know how ongoing is, but it's not just an isolated check. It's more than that. It's a collaborative relationship. And for all those reasons, I'd be inclined at this point, unless there were some facts I can't imagine, to support the opinion of the AGO, but if your Office of General Counsel, but if one commissioner wants additional time, as long as it doesn't appear to be prejudicial, I would not oppose that. So.
Commissioner Von Spakovsky.
Well, to use a legal term, I think there's an assumption being made here based on facts, not in evidence, and that is the assumption that receiving the $50,000 in pledges is somehow dependent on the Tancredo money coming in. There's absolutely nothing in the file that indicates that that is the case. They have 10,000 in hand. They have pledges for another 50,000, and that's all been done without receiving a single penny of money from Tancredo. So I don't think it's proper for us to make a decision based on the assumption that somehow the receipt of the other $50,000 in pledges is dependent on the Tancredo money coming in. And I think it would be very strange for us to make a finding that says if Tancredo gives 25% of the money on hand right now, so in other words, he puts in $2,500, I think it would be very strange if we were to make a finding that said if Tancredo makes a donation of $2,500 so that the organization now has $12,500 on hand and they then get those other $50,000 in pledges. So at the end of the day, they've got $62,500, and Tancredo only gave $2,500, a little over 3% of the total amount of money they've actually gotten in hand, that he is financing the organization because he gave them 3% of the funds that they raised. And I don't think there would be a problem. I don't see a problem with us writing an opinion that says that, you know, if you contribute 25% of the funding that's raised by this organization, you have significantly financed. But if, depending on the amount they raise, it falls significantly below that amount, you will not be considered to have financed the organization.
Thank you. Commissioner Weintraub.
Unless we're going to, you know, come up with the perfect, we're going to decide that there is a percentage that is the percentage that we consider to be determinative. And I'm not sure whether people are prepared today to do that. We've just got this problem that we're never going to be in a position to give a firm yes or no answer, because it's always going to be, well, yes, unless you get more money tomorrow, or unless you get significantly more money tomorrow, or unless a month from now the financial situation of the organization looks dramatically different than that presented in your request. I mean, we always have to go off what they tell us in the request. And at this point, I'm not assuming that the other pledges are dependent on the Tancredo pledge, but they're not there yet. They're just pledges. So I think we have to look at the financial situation of the organization as is presented to us by the requester. And it looks to me like more of a seed money situation, where he's trying to help them get off the ground. They don't have a lot of money in hand, and he's trying to help them get going, get sort of a minimum amount to establish credibility, or to get done the minimum that they need to get done to get on the ballot. I'm unwilling to have us in a situation where we can never really give an answer, like yes or no. That's fine, or it's okay. The idea of giving an answer that's, it's no today, but it could be yes tomorrow. I guess so. It could always be yes tomorrow if circumstances change. All of our answers come with that boilerplate at the end that says, we're assuming that the facts are as you've represented to them, and if they're different from that, then this answer's not good anymore. But I think it's the best that we can do.
I think Commissioner Weintraub, her earlier remarks made a very good point in terms of it's established financing, maintaining, or controlling, that they're separate prongs, and that essentially we're focusing now, we might focus on other prongs, but we're focusing on the finance prong. My thinking is that I'd like to get more facts on that financing prong, and I do agree with the Commissioner that there's never going to be perfect information or total information, unless, again, you have a situation where the organization says, look, we're done fundraising, and here's the total ballgame. But I think we could get fuller information than we have now, but I recognize that's a judgment call that we have to make, in these kinds of totality of the circumstances kinds of cases. But I do think the Commissioner made a good point in terms of the fact that there's multiple factors in play, and as the regulation is structured, satisfying any one of those prongs can lead to a finding, and that here we're really focusing on the fundraising or the financing prong. But Commissioner, were you looking? Commissioner Mason was looking to get recognized. Commissioner,
I'm not sure that Commissioner Von Spakovsky doesn't already have, in essence, what I think he was proposing, because the thing we're struggling with is that we're fairly certain that the facts have changed since the request was submitted. And I'm willing to assume that Defend Colorado now has raised more money than they had raised in November or January, whichever was the date when those figures were submitted.
December 31st, right? We have the figures
December 31st, and we don't know how much more. But by saying 25% would be significant, we're specifically not saying that the $5,000 or the $2,500 would be significant in light of the facts as they are today, but rather we're saying that if that money was seed funding and represented 25%, then that would be significant. But if Defend Colorado now has in fact already raised $100,000, then I think it's pretty obvious. I don't think any of us would have any trouble saying no, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 just isn't significant. And so this might be useful guidance to give them at the time, but we're not foreclosing. We're not saying here that $2,500 would be significant, first because as far as we know that contribution hasn't been made, and we won't know the exact dollar amounts when it has. I mean, they ask us this. They ask us on a percentage basis at a point in time, and we ought to try to give them an answer on that basis. And I think, that if then the organization's financial picture has improved considerably and they give far under 25%, that they might consider that a good enough piece of advice for the time being. And as I noted before, they may not be familiar with it, but they certainly could have submitted comments if they thought relevant facts had changed that they wanted to bring to our attention.
Vice Chairman Linhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess sort of two thoughts animate my thinking in this area. The first is that Mr. Tancredo's treasurer came to us in November initially and asked us to render an advisory opinion on this question. As we now enter the beginning of April, I guess my sense or desire is to give them an answer. And secondly, the proposal as amended before us seems to me to be a reasonable answer to the question. And so my leanings would be to provide them an answer, to answer the question formally, even though it may not be as full or complete an answer as we might give if there were different circumstances, different facts, or the situation presented itself in a somewhat different way.
Are we ready to entertain a motion or other analysis? Yes, Commissioner Von Spakovsky.
If we're going to approve this, I would make one other recommendation. I'm sorry, is a motion? Did Commissioner Weinberg?
No motion is pending at this time. No.
And that is that in the supplemental document, the OGC added a footnote. This is number one. That footnote is to say that the proposed activity may also fall within the other permitted uses of contributions enumerated, including the use of a contribution for any other lawful purpose. I don't think this should be a footnote, because I don't see, when you're looking at 439A, there are six, the amended version, of course, there are six grounds given or six ways that the money can be spent. And I think the way this advisory opinion is written, it interprets this statute as if it's that these are in some kind of priority. And I don't think it is any priority. I think they can use the money for either of these purposes. And I think what our advisory opinion should say is, well, he can make this contribution under A1 because he's associated with this issue. But even if he wasn't associated with the issue at all, he could still make this contribution under A6 because it's for any other lawful purpose. I don't think that should be relegated to a footnote. I think the text of the advisory opinion should say you can spend this money legally under either A1 or under A6.
Well, I share the Commissioner's thoughts on that, because that was an important amendment to 439 that Congress made, as I recall, in the McCain-Feingold law. They had deleted any other lawful purpose, and so we had a series of advisory opinions of where are we now, which were difficult for us and put a lot of pressure on whether it's a bona fide campaign funds, which has been relieved by the fact that Congress has put in any other lawful purpose as an independent ground. I do share that idea, those thoughts. Commissioner Weintraub.
That makes perfect sense to me. In fact, the three of us who were here at the time, we all advocated that Congress should put that language back. So why don't I try this? I don't know whether it'll persuade you to vote for the document or not, but I'm happy to accommodate the concern either way, which seems to me to be valid. Mr. Chairman, I move, let's see, what are the document numbers? I move approval of agenda document 0621 as amended by 0621A, with the exception that the text of footnote 1 be moved up into the text of the opinion and rather than being placed there as a footnote.
Commissioner Weintraub has moved to adopt agenda document 0621 as amended by 0621A, except the text of footnote 1 in agenda document 0621A would not appear as a footnote, but instead would appear in the text of the advisory opinion.
And I'll leave it to counsel to figure out whether the C advisory opinion 2004-29 belongs in front of or behind that language from the footnote that we've now moved up into the text. So my motion would incorporate technical and conforming amendments as appropriate.
And the commissioner has moved to authorize counsel to make any technical and conforming amendments as may be necessary. Okay, discussion on Commissioner Weintraub's motion. Commissioner Mason.
I just wanted to note one other sort of slightly odd outcome here, which I don't think is terribly disputable under the state of the regulations, but that has to do with the polling expenses here. Under our regulations on polling and its treatment of an in-kind contribution, this is fairly straightforward. If Defend Colorado Now takes a poll and provides the poll results to the Tancredo Committee within the first short period after it's taken, that's considered to be an in-kind contribution to the Tancredo Committee. We assume in the opinion that it would be permissible for a variety of reasons. However, it's also clear, and we don't specifically address that, that the Tancredo Committee could reimburse Defend Colorado Now for the cost of the poll. And so, for instance, if assuming the poll were more than the permissible contribution limit, then an immediate payment for that excess amount would be appropriate, or in fact an immediate payment for the contribution when it came in would be appropriate. Now, that would produce a rather curious effect of, in essence, allowing the Tancredo Committee to a certain degree to subsidize the operations of Defend Colorado Now because of the operation of the polling regulation. I note that would be limited to polling. I can't really think of any other operational expense of Defend Colorado Now that could somehow be shared with the Tancredo Committee. In other words, they couldn't do their get out the vote efforts that way or their advertising or anything else. And so I don't think it presents a significant problem in terms of our financing analysis or any problems that might come up under BCRA simply because it's a fairly discrete category of expenses, though it could be fairly large. I mean, a statewide poll, I'm sure, could cost $10,000 or at least a series of polls could. I wanted to note that in part because since I see the implication, I simply want it to be on the record in terms of the committee so that they're aware of how that operates, and I may want to write a brief concurring opinion pointing that out. I also want to mention it because in a couple of other areas, for instance, phone banks, we have allowed sharing of expenses between, most of the time we're thinking about party committees and authorized committees, and I think we have an advisory opinion request pending now about other categories of expenses. And while this request really isn't square on point, if, as we're thinking about the sharing of expenses between party committees and candidate committees, it may be that polling is another thing we're going to have to think about at some point down the line, because I don't really see the rationale if, and again, it's not the question before us today, but if a state committee takes a statewide poll and then shares that poll with its Senate candidate, why that wouldn't be a shared expense in some respect as opposed to simply an in-kind contribution or a coordinated expenditure on behalf of the Senate candidate is sort of beyond me. And in discussing this with the staff, I'm informed that that this polling reg was one of the originals to the commission, was done in the 70s, apparently hasn't been substantially changed since, and was not accompanied by a very helpful explanation and justification. And so it may be one more thing that we get to think about at some point in the future. And the reason
another rulemaking.
I'm not proposing one, but simply it does end up with a rather odd result in this, you know, in this particular application, and in the context of us considering in a variety of other applications allowing a 50-50 split, it sort of would make this continued application increasingly odd, and we may encounter a point or a situation at some point where it appears more significant than it does in this opinion. So I just wanted to raise it for what it's worth at this point.
Commissioner Mason harkens back to a time when we used to pass regulations that have no explanation for them. Boy, those days sound real good compared to the current circumstance. For my part, I will plan to vote no on the motion, mainly because I would have preferred to have more facts on the fundraising analysis or the financing analysis, but I understand that a majority of my colleagues have the facts they need to make that decision. I'm also skeptical that a 25% financing ratio or funding ratio is a significant or meets the significant funding requirement of the regulation. I think a 50% ratio does, because when you're at that level, 50% or more, it's either a majority of the total receipts of the organization or half of them, and I think that that's a very strong case for being significant funding. You get down to 5 to 10%, I'm extremely skeptical. 25%, I'm also skeptical. So I'm not comfortable with that aspect of the advisory opinion as well. Other discussion on the motion? Commissioner Von Spakovsky.
I'm ready for a vote, but I want to echo those comments. I'm uncomfortable with 25% too. I mean, the word to me, significant funding of an organization, to me that means that if that significant funding is not contributed, the organization will collapse and not be able to do what it set out to do. And I have a hard time believing that if they don't receive, for example, right now, $2,500 from Tancredo when they have $10,000 in hand and $50,000 pledged, that somehow the organization is going to collapse and not be able to do that. So I have serious doubts that 25% could be considered significant funding. But I understand my colleagues' reasoning on this, too. I don't think this is an easy question, but I intend to vote no.
Further discussion on Commissioner Weintraub's motion to adopt. Hearing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, no.
No.
Motion passes by a vote of 4-2. Commissioners Walther, Weintraub, the Vice Chairman, and Commissioner Mason voting affirmatively. Commissioner Von Spakovsky and Toner voting no. And so the advisory opinion is adopted. Thank you, Mr. Abramson. Our next item of business is a demonstration of our new search engine capabilities on the website. And to lead us in that effort, Mr. Alec Palmer, who's our Deputy Staff Director and heads up the IT division of the Federal Election Commission. Mr. Palmer. And I think we will take our seats and watch the demo.
Welcome. I have a little brief presentation today on our new search engine that we have incorporated into our FEC homepage. Unfortunately, a lot of the work that went into this is behind the scenes on the technical side, so what you're going to see is very brief today, but trust me, there was a lot of work that went into it. A lot of the reasons that we did make the change in our search engine was basically based on three factors, one of them being both accuracy and that which is relevant. And you will see today as we come up with one of our first comparisons to our new versus the old, you'll be able to see that quite clearly. Second, we wanted to make an improvement in the look and feel, the navigation, make it much easier to get to the information that's on our website. And we also have some additional new features which are specific to the Google model that many of you have seen and are familiar with, as we're using basically a mini Google search engine that we've incorporated into our website. So pretty much anyone that can Google will be able to search our website very effectively and very efficiently. Let's go to our first search. We're going to type in commission meetings. Blake, do you have the old one? You can alt-tab to that. This is the old version of our search engine, and where we typed in commission meetings, and you'd have to go to the fourth item down to get really to where you wanted to go. Let's go back to the new one, Blake. On the new one, because it's more relevant, more accurate, it popped up at the very top. Go ahead and click on that link, FEC commission meetings. This takes you basically to the commission meetings homepage on our website. That's just one example. Let's do another search. We're going to type in the word disclosure search. It's a lot of people that use our website to be able to search information on our disclosure database. If you click on that first link at the top, campaign finance disclosure, this will then send you right into our disclosure search homepage. where you can then basically look for parties, PACs, individuals, searches, etc. The old search engine was not this effective, where you had to scroll through a couple pages to find out where you needed to go. Our whole objective is to basically provide it easier for the public to be able to get information they need much more quickly and more efficiently and truly utilize the tools that we have here on the FEC website. Let's go ahead and let's talk about the key match technology. One of the technologies that we have within this new search engine is called key match. I'm going to type in the word internet. If you notice now, the very top two items that come up on the search engine are highlighted in blue. This is called key mapping or key matching. And what we do, this is a manual effort that we do in the background where we do a couple things. We basically know the hot button issues that people want to look for and research on. We also can monitor all the traffic on our website and find out where people go to the most. And so when you type in the word internet, these two that come up at the top are basically the most critical information that people will want to go to regarding the internet and some of the rulemakings that are now under discussion.
I think that third one is very critical.
Yes. I'm going to do another search now. Let's remember a couple months ago we did the presentation on podcasts. Well, let's say that you forgot how to get there. So you just go ahead and type in the word podcast. And at the very top, there you have the highlighted audio recording. Click on that, Blake. And then that will basically send you to the audio recording page where all our audio files are. Just another example of how to get to podcasting very quickly. The third one we want to do is coordinated communications. And again, here's an example of basically how we use key match technology to elevate the search results at the top of that page. Another very interesting feature that we have is the synonyms. Go ahead and type in PAC. Now, you notice right underneath the search box, it comes back and says you may also want to try separate segregated fund, non-connected committees, things of that nature. So because people may not know, well, most people should know what a PAC is, but just in case they don't, we have all the other synonyms associated with that so they can research and get to it in a variety of ways. Let's try another synonym, soft money.
I thought we got rid of soft.
I was hoping that you were going to have the final rule on coordinated communications up there.
We tried. If you notice Love and Funds, somebody may not know what Love and Funds is and how that coordinates to that. Go ahead and click on that. Now, let's say that somebody clicks on Love and Funds. Click just on Chapter 8, that very first one that's found. Now, this brings up a PDF document. Now, not part of the Google search, but something you may already be aware of. If you go up to Edit, Find on this page, just type in the word Levin. Find next, and it goes to the very first instance of Levin found on that page. So again, it makes it very easy to be able to go through a PDF document to find the language that you're looking for on that PDF document on that website. And my next feature, which is actually I use quite a bit, spelling. Let's, Blake, type in the word commissioner with three S's. Of course, it's going to come back and prompt you for the correct spelling. So that's another Google feature that we've incorporated in. Search tips. Above each one of the search boxes, you have search tips. You just click on that. This brings up the basics of the Google search. So any user can basically take a minute, browse through this, and it tells you how to choose keywords, and how to do basic queries to effectively get the results that you want. Notice the vacation Hawaii on there. We thought, no, we won't go there, Blake.
Anything on our website?
Nothing better come up on that.
All right, let's go to the event search. What we want to do here is basically this is where you can get very, very specific to really drill down to very specific documents. We're going to type in on this search, we're going to type in the word Internet, and then in the box below it, the exact phrase of opening statement. And here it's popped up at the top. Just click on that first one. And then here's basically all the agenda documents, et cetera, related to anything that has opening statement and Internet in the document. Again, you can mix and match any type of words you want to be able to narrow down to the results on our web page. So we have a tremendous amount of information on our website. We just wanted to implement a tool that we felt would make it more efficient and effective to be able to get to the data that we want the public and the press and also internally to be able to do research, that you could be able to get to that information on our website. But one of the side benefits that we have just in closing is that this also helps us maintain our websites much easier. This is going to make Blake's life a bit easier, because right now, without this, to be able to see all the web pages that are linked together, if you make a change in one, what are the other 500 pages that are linked to that? It was difficult. Now with this, we can utilize this Google technology, and it provides us a list of everything that is linked. So when we modify one page, we know what everything that is attached to it, and hence we don't have any orphan pages hanging out there by themselves, which we did have in the past. Any questions? Blake deserves the credit. He did all the work. Thank you, Blake.
Thank you, Alec, and thank you, Blake, and for everybody who's worked on everything you've done to improve our website. You guys have done a terrific job, and I can't tell you the number of comments I get from people on the outside thanking you and your team for what you've done. You really, it's the commission, it's really the commission acting in the best fashion to do that. So do we have any further business? Mr. Staff Director, any further items to bring to our attention?
No, Commissioner, there are no.
All right, hearing none, this meeting is adjourned.